We look at the Bible, we look at history, we assume that the people living then had the same worldview that we have.
Right.
And you know, that's a mistake. Again, Rome wasn't Rome. You see that in conspiracy theories, you know, that the Roman Catholic Church created Islam. Well, no, because Rome wasn't Rome in the 7th century. Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, didn't attain the kind of power that it had until about the time of Gregory the Great, which was hundreds of years later. So, and they never had the kind of influence that that conspiracy theorists assume in the areas under the control of the Orthodox churches, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox. I mean, those areas never, never subjected to Roman authority.
Right.
So Rome created Islam. Well, no, no.
Yeah, it makes sense. And you know, it's interesting too, how strange that eschatology probably sounds to us. And especially that there's a lot of different interpretations, different views, but we as Christians, my gosh, talk about different interpretations and views.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the strangest interpretations of end time prophecy that we have, but possibly one of the most accurate, if the world continues as is, has to do with the topic of transhumanism.
Yeah.
For those who may not know, what is transhumanism? Just a brief rundown of that. And as a follow-up question, how might that actually play into our eschatology or end time prophecy?
Well, that's a good question. Transhumanism is essentially a belief that the survival of the human race depends on upgrading our biology or abandoning our biology. In other words, somehow through technology, humanity will achieve virtual godhood one way or another. We will live forever either by merging our biology with artificial intelligence, by changing our genetics, or by merging our biology with cybernetics, becoming cyborgs, or some combination of the above, or just uploading our consciousness into a cosmic mainframe. One or more of those paths lie before us, according to the transhumanists. There are some who believe that we're destined to become, in the words of one leading transhumanist, very prominent fellow, a global meta-intelligence, a hive mind.
Right.
And, you know, this sounds crazy until you realize the guy who's making this claim is a he's got a degree in aerospace engineering from MIT and a medical doctorate from Harvard Medical.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, this guy is practically a rocket scientist and a brain surgeon.
Right.
It's as close as you'll get to it. And but yet he believes that this is our destiny, our evolution, to become part of a cosmic meta intelligence. There are others who believe that we are just going to abandon the need for biology and eventually become avatars.
Right.
In sort of a cosmic mainframe. So ultimately what they're looking for is salvation through technology, whether it's improving our genetics or by abandoning the need for biology and just uploading our personalities into a cosmic mainframe. One of the fellow who really popularized the term, the technological singularity, Dr. Raymond Kurzweil, has very famously predicted that we'll be immortal by the year 2045. But when he starts talking about how he identifies the six epochs of evolution, you know, and some of it makes sense from a Darwinian perspective. If you accept the assumptions made by Darwinian evolutionists, that we're seeing a history of a growing complexity of information and information systems throughout history. We start out with single-celled critters, and we gradually grow more and more complex and develop more and more complex ways to store and share information back and forth, to the point that the fifth stage of evolution, which is the one we're about to embark on, is the singularity, where mankind transcends the limits of our biology. But then the sixth stage is the cosmos wakes up. Like, what? Yeah, all the dumb matter in the cosmos, like this desk, suddenly becomes a computing substrate for all of us to live in this giant cosmic matrix.
Wow.
So, and again, Dr. Kurzweil is a brilliant man. He is not a Looney Tune. He's considered one of the greatest inventors of the last century. And this is his firm belief that someday the cosmos will wake up. Well, Sharon and Tom, Tom Horn and Sharon, my wife, were recently guests on the program It's Supernatural with Sid Roth. And he asked the question, this sounds like science fiction. How, you know, what is this, how did they, why do they think this is real?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a good response to this, which again, I wish was original to me, but I have to credit where it is. Dr. Timothy Furnish, who I mentioned before, in talking about Islamic eschatology, referred to the movie Jeremiah Johnson with Robert Redford, where he mm-hmm. plays this mountain man from the 1840s who goes out west to make a living in the mountains of Colorado and Utah. He's approached by an army expedition that's trying to rescue a wagon train that's been stranded in a pass, stuck in the snow, and things are getting desperate. And they need to get to these folks as quickly as they can. And they're accompanied by a pastor who's there looking for these folks. And they need a guide to take them through the mountains as quickly as possible. Well, the shortest path to where they want to go was through an Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the character Johnson says, well, we don't want to go through there. It's big medicine. And this pastor sneers at him and says, you don't believe that. And Johnson responds, doesn't matter. They believe it,
mm-hmm.
the Indians. Well, that's kind of my attitude about the transhumanist movement. There are many very learned scholars and scientists in the fields of genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, and nanotechnology from which many beneficial things will come for humanity. I mean, you know, my dad had an artificial knee. Some might say, see, he was already a transhuman. Well, it just replaced his knee because the other one was shot with arthritis, and that was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to be able to see without wearing knees. That would be a good thing.
Yep.
But I'm not depending on technology for my eternal salvation.
Exactly.
A lot of these researchers and scientists think that guys like Dr. Kurzweil are nuts.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the reviewers of his book, and I think it was the book How to Build a Brain, Dr. Kurzweil's book, said it's like taking some bits of a gourmet meal and tossing them into a food processor with dog droppings and blending it up so thoroughly that you can't tell what's what.
Mm.
You can't, you know, that was the impression this fellow had from reading the book. In other words, what they're trying to do, take human consciousness and transfer it into a computing substrate,
mm-hmm.
or develop some sort of artificial biology that will allow us to live forever, maybe forever beyond our capabilities. So we can take the approach to try to argue this will never happen, God won't allow it to happen. But I think that's the wrong approach, because that's not really what matters. It doesn't matter whether I believe they're able to create an artificial intelligence that they can merge with our brains and make us trillions of times more intelligent. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are selling that message to our children, our grandchildren, our colleagues, our coworkers. Our kids are coming out of the cradle with devices like this in their hands. They see the miracle of technology every single day. What are they going to believe? With somebody that they respect, somebody cool like, you know, Dr. Kurzweil, or the messages they're getting from the culture.
Yeah.
The X-Men or movies like, what was the one with Scarlett Johansson?
Avengers and...
Well, yeah, the Avengers films, but the one where Lucy, where she's injected a substance that turns her into a superhuman, and she eventually, you know, just becomes omnipotent.
Yep. Transcendence, that was another one,
Transcendence,
too.
Transcendence, yeah, right, with Johnny Depp.
Yep.
Films like that are influencing the way they are viewing the relationship between technology and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they going to believe that for eternal life, or are they going to believe in the words of a book that their parents, according to studies, 80% of their parents have never even read or more?
Yeah.
That is the threat posed by transhumanism. Doesn't matter whether I believe they'll ever be successful in creating an artificial intelligence or creating a human, a means for humans to live forever. What matters is that they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, they may develop some technologies that allow them to radically extend human life. And there is a prophecy in the book of Revelation that where would we be? Revelation 9 is the opening of the seals.
Revelation 9 is the opening of the abyss.
Opening of the abyss. Well, anyway, there's in the book of Revelation where there is the where people are hiding themselves in caves and under, you know, under rocks and basically wishing for death.
Mm-hmm.
But death flees from them. They're not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is Revelation 9. And it talks about the stings of these locusts.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that death flees from the people that they're afflicted for 5 months, which is really strange.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's possible that the transhumanist movement may lead to that condition where people want to die but can't die because mm-hmm. they've been enhanced.
Yeah.
So who knows? That could be an inclusion of a little glimpse of how transhumanism plays out in Bible prophecy.